Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get started.
All right. So you guys brought your coffee in, I see.
We did. It's delicious. We did.
Didn't get me one.
Oh, we offered, but...
Tell us why you didn't want it.
You guys have the fancy coffee.
Oh, but it wasn't good enough for you.
Well, no.
So what does that say about you, Tommy?
You can't control what type of ingredients they use, so I make my own.
So tell us about this real quick.
So what'd you put in there?
This is quilt. Really fun. Go ahead.
What?
Yeah, go for it.
I've been into iced coffee lately, but I'm trying to stay away from caffeine, too. So I have decaf coffee with unsweetened almond milk and a little splash of sugar-free vanilla.
That just sounds like dirty water.
No, it's really good. Because I can control, you know, when I go to the famous places, I'm that guy that has like the two pump, this and that, and you just hope you're at the mercy of, are they really doing two pumps? Are they really putting in what you want? And a lot of times, they're not.
So the goal with that is to make sure you get what you want health-wise.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
That's right, because I am watching what I'm eating.
Yep.
Yeah. And drinking, especially drinking. So I have this big, I have a goal.
Emphasis on drinking, what you're drinking.
So,
right?
I don't want to drink calories. That's my thing. Like, that's a waste.
That's the easiest way to take in calories.
Exactly.
Liquid form.
Mm-hmm. I know. But it's also, you know, if I'm taking calories and I want that to be in food and not drink. So I try to get low calorie. So I usually only drink water, and then I've cut out caffeine too. Hmm.
So that family size pack of M&Ms you had at the movies?
It's
not a liquid.
That's not a liquid. Thank you. Thank you, Justin.
If it's hot enough outside, it becomes a liquid.
So speaking of those M&Ms, we got to go to the movie. So we had this fun guy's date.
Outing.
Yeah. Outing. Okay.
Hang out. Use your synonyms.
Come on, man. You just ruined the whole experience.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Felt like a date.
God date. Well, it's God date. It was a guy hangout.
Yeah.
There we go.
It was fun. It was six of us. And so we went to see a movie. You guys want to talk about the movie we went to see?
Yeah. So I was told about this movie being out of theater and recommended by our pastor. And so I got the guys in our discipleship group and shot it out, whoever could come. And so we went and saw the movie The Forge, which was about discipleship. And so we went and saw that last night.
You know, the thing about going to the movie and when you send it out, I mean, like, I feel like when you have kids and a family, you know, when a movie comes out that you want to take your kids and family to, like, it still is like a expensive.
It's ridiculous.
Thing. And like, you learn how to make it less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bottle of water that they sell was what, $5?
Yeah.
$4.75 or something.
Is that why you smuggled in a family size pack of M&Ms?
Did you have a water camel pack on? Straw coming over your shoulder.
Through his glasses.
I will say, just to be clear, I did not see a sign that says no outside food or drink. Now, I wasn't looking for the sign, but I didn't see it. But in order to afford it, I mean, yeah, I might bring in a little bottle of water from Walmart.
It was a little wild, for sure. But the movie, which I told you guys, it's been in the theater for a little while now. It's probably not going to be anybody in there, was packed.
It was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Which was encouraging.
Which we took up a lot of it, too.
We
six
did.
Of it, but six seats.
But it was full, so that was incredible. So the movie was on discipleship about this young guy.
Well, don't give it away.
I'm not going to give it away.
I know, I'm just making sure you're not.
But just praying over this young man and just how circumstances happened that led to a discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And so none of us here are movie critics. It was a good movie.
It was.
I came home and my daughter and wife said, hey, how was the movie? I was good. I said, my eyes watered a couple times.
Right.
Like, I wasn't crying. It was just some water. And I don't know if somebody, you know, got some salt in my eye. But
felt bad about the M&Ms.
I did have some conviction. Let's talk about that. What did you guys get out of the movie?
Yeah, I think, one, the life that the kid was living, I think was probably a real situation. Drinking in your calories. You know, I thought it was really good how they kind of showed his life and just kind of that transition of, like, you know, wandering, kind of living for himself. And then, you know, like Jeff mentioned, situations that come together that kind of lead to a discipleship relationship. So when I think about that, I thought, man, like in our discipleship group, like, hey, how do we kind of do this with, you know, our kids?
Right.
And then also as our kids are getting older, because when you have a younger family, there's a lot of time spent, you know, with them and just activities and things. And so thinking even ahead to, you know, man, how do we kind of take this and find guys, you know, in the future to kind of live life. And it doesn't always have to be like a sitting down, right. And going through a book or it's kind of that true living life on life. And, so they just did a really good job of making it, reminding us that, hey, it can be simple. We just got to take the time, you know? So,
I did notice that their group wore sport coats.
Yeah.
We don't wear sport coats. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No.
No. Mm-mm. But that's all right.
Windbreakers.
Flip-flops.
That's going to be our style.
Windbreakers. I think the thing that for me, you know, I feel like the first part of the movie and just this mom's struggle with her, you know, 19-year-old son, and just kind of, like you mentioned, Justin, just kind of not really ready to take the responsibility of growing up and playing video games and that kind of thing. I mean, it just resonated big time with our struggle at home right now. And kind of looking at that and being convicted about that, but really wrestling with how do you handle your kids and really what's been created as an addiction, the type of video games and stuff that they play, that how do you balance that? Do you take it all away? Do you teach them how to?
Well, when we come home from the movie, yeah, you want it's almost like, oh, yeah, man. I'm ready to clean house,
unplug,
yeah, come home.
And I am very much that way. Like I'm very much a, I don't know, knee jerk is the right word, but I'm a very much go big.
Right.
Like I just we're gonna do it.
Let's get rid
like
of.
Like when
all.
I go to healthy eating, I'm gonna put the garbage can up next to the pantry and we're throwing it all away.
Yeah.
And we will have
minus the M&Ms. Yeah. We got to hang on to those.
So I did plan ahead, though. I did not eat that much. I ate a little breakfast, maybe a blueberry muffin for lunch.
Maybe.
Mm, okay. That was it. And so I was like, because yes. I knew.
Carb free.
I was going to get some popcorn. And I was like, man, I really want some M&Ms, but I can't afford $10 M&Ms.
Did you get butter on the popcorn?
Yes.
All right. That's a liquid. Liquid butter.
But it soaks into the I didn't like drink it.
It makes the stale popcorn soft again.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
So there's a purpose. Okay.
I mean, yeah, I regretted getting the popcorn. And I ain't gonna lie, after I got back home, I was like, ugh. I felt didn't feel good. Mm. But I also felt convicted too in the movie.
Yeah.
Because there's so many distractions that I see that. You know, part of the theme of the movies was, getting rid of things that get in your way.
Right.
And we should want to do that.
Right.
And sometimes I don't want to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So how do you handle your kids and technology, especially when there are series on, you know, Netflix and different things like that are telling you, hey, AI is creating a world of addiction. It is dopamine hit after dopamine hit to keep you, not only kids, adults. It's ruining marriages, the whole bit. It's keeping you plugged in and addicted to stay on that page or that game or whatever it is. And you're trading priorities is basically what it is. And so kind of looking at that, looking at your life, looking at your kids, how do you navigate this world where technology is pulling from all directions? And I think the simplest way to say it is like, I mean, it's kind of like your cell phone. I'd love to get rid of it, but I need it for GPS. I need it for my work. Those different kinds of things.
See, that's the thing.
Right.
They've programmed that into our brain to think that we need it. There was a time when we had paper maps.
That's true.
Those maps where you...
MapQuest, baby.
We print up a MapQuest.
Yeah.
Still remember doing that.
It's a lot safer to read a map than to follow GPS.
Well, in previous...
I don't know, guys. Like, back then, I mean, just because we were driving around, like... pirates looking for our location. I mean, I don't know that that's safe when you're flipping through
no,
three
it's not
pages.
Safe. I think
I was being sarcastic.
I think that's what he was saying. It's yeah. like what it's way
got
not
it,
safer. Like
wow, I'm tracking now.
I would be trying to find the reference and flipping the pages yeah. and anyway.
And then trying to find music in your CD booklet.
Oh
you know,
my goodness! Yes. Yeah. So, but I'm not a good role model in this. You know, when it comes to the kids, I mean, we don't let, and our kids are a little older than, well, our kids are older than Justin, than your kids. And I think it's, I was going to say, I think it's hard, but so we, the three of us come from the video game era, came out when we were kids, right? The mm-hmm. Nintendos and Ataris.
But
or
the
whatever.
Games were different.
Well, hold on a second. All but right. It's the mindset. It's, so I had a Nintendo, I played video games. I never considered myself addicted to, and we played sure. outside all the time and stuff. Right. So when I had kids, I was like, man, I want them to experience the same thing. So
the video games are so much cooler.
Exactly. Yeah. So we get whatever they are now.
Xbox,
yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, we are playing video games. I'm playing video games with my young son, and I get bored with stuff like that easy. Mm-hmm. So I'll stop playing. Yeah. I'll do something else. Well, he keeps playing, you know, and there was a time in his life, he's 17 now, but there was a time in his life where he was playing a lot of video games. Mm-hmm. So, and then nowadays, you know, you can do everything online as far as purchase games
sure.
and do all that. And so I had a credit card hooked up to the Xbox, and he always knew that he had to ask for permission. Well, 1 month, I was looking like we don't, you know, don't really. 1 month, I saw that there was a credit card bill, and I started looking at these charges, and it was like $5, $7, $5, $7, $5. I'm like, what is going on? And so I called him in.
I was like, look at all these new guns I got.
So he knew that he did wrong. Mm-hmm. So I called him into the dining room, and my wife and I were sitting there, and I said, hey, I looked on my bank account. I looked on the account. And his eyes just immediately filled up with tears. I didn't have to say anything. And the tears were running down his face. He's like, and he was probably maybe 10. I don't even, you know, so long ago now. But he grounded himself from the video game for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's something, too, and just human nature is if we know that we've done something wrong, we will, you know, I think associate that with the thing we did wrong and want to back away from it for a while, but then it'll come back later after you get comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, we forgave him and stuff, but it was a lesson in, hey, these things are truly really addictive. But even then, you know, I'm probably not as good with keeping them from their phones and stuff like as much as some other people. We have the family share. I can see what they see. Mm-hmm. I can see what they do. We can set timers and limits. And they have to request apps, you know, things like that. But I haven't done a great job with, you know, monitoring and or managing their.
Well, I think it's hard, you know, like, you know, one, you definitely are telling your age, Tommy, because you're like, you know, now you can play the games on the line, online. And maybe Mason was, you know, sad that he was no longer going to be able to level up, you know, to the next level. No,
you get some new skins.
You know, whether it's, you know, games or phones and all that stuff, you know, we've had it with our boys. You know, we set kind of parameters and stuff. And but there are some weeks where, you know, where it's like, man, like they may play it, you know, longer than we'd like or something like that. Or you see like their attitudes change when they're like, you know, arguing with each other about who's playing what and when. And so, and you do notice when things, you know, kind of get taken away for a period of time, like there is an attitude change and you can kind of see it kind of take over. And, you know, we were talking before, like, you know, we're not the ones that are just going to remove everything and kind of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But like, how do you, you know, navigate giving an opportunity for responsibility, but then also there's potential consequences, right? So,
So hey, I want to challenge you guys with this. I did this one time, and the first time I did it, it was by accident, and then it kind of a light bulb went off, and I did it again later on purpose. So, if you ever, you know, and maybe someone listening, look, your kids are in their rooms now, You never see them. You never hear them because then they're doing their thing. Mm-hmm. They're on the line playing games and doing whatever. Well, one time our internet went out. And you would have thought that somebody, you know, somebody died in each of their rooms. Wow, what's going on? I'm like, oh, y'all alive now? Internet's off. Right. I mean, so then occasionally I would go and shut the internet off to see.
Flip the breaker.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Even nowadays, even for adults, if we move away from the kids for a minute, everything's streamed on the internet, right? So it's no longer just, you know, everybody's got satellite or so. It's so engrossed in everything we do.
And it's portable. It's on your phone. You can take it with you. Yeah. Watch a game, watch a show.
And if we're honest, I think adults, we may go, yeah, my kids or our kids or, you know, kids have, you know, but man, also like, you know, adults play on the phones too.
Oh,
you know, I like that. And by the way, I'm not throwing stones here because there are times where like I'll get caught, you know, scrolling, you know, looking at something. I'm like, oh, like 35 minutes went by, and I meant to look up this one thing, but what was it? It was like, I'm able to come back to me tomorrow.
It does create attention deficit, for sure.
Yeah, it literally dumbs you down. It's like that movie. Have y'all ever seen WALL-E? That movie,
yeah,
WALL-E?
I don't remember it.
Aaron and I talked about how it kind of predicts. It's just like this robot, and you know, people become lazy, and like to the point where they're so lazy. And it's like a fictional cartoon type movie thing that the boys.
He's like watched. A balloon, like a balloon robot. Like he's
no,
white.
You're thinking of something else.
Oh
no, but like, it gets to the point where like people are so like dumbed down from technology doing everything
so
for
lazy.
Them.
They can't even get out of their chair.
They can't get out of the chair, and everything moves. And like some guy drops something out of his chair, and he falls, but he hasn't moved in forever. So he's like.
His bone density.
His bone density's gone away. It's like, I think sometimes like that's where we're headed, but, you know, but how do we, you know, set the example, be honest about, you know, ourselves and where we're struggling with like, man, it takes up a lot of my time outside of where we need it for work or other stuff.
Right.
And be that example for our kids too, you know, create kind of that family time again. And
so out of curiosity, Justin, you had mentioned that you guys have, you know, some guidelines, boundaries, and, you know, a lot of people listening are in this predicament. So out of curiosity, what kind of guidelines do you have set for your kids? What do you do at your home?
It depends too. Like during the week, we don't say not at all during the week about them playing games. Mm-hmm. We'll limit it. And then, you know, some weeks, you know, like they don't have it at all, depending on, you know, how they've been taking that responsibility. They do play on the weekend. You know, but that's also somewhat limited depending on what's going on. Like this week, it's been raining nonstop for 80 hours, you know, a day. But what we do try to do is kind of set some boundaries to it, some limits. And then also like, if you're like us, I mean, they're brothers, they get on each other's nerves. And so like, you know, when they're just being crazy with each other, we're like, hey guys, like you keep doing this, especially if it's about a game or not, it's like, hey, you've lost this thing. Cause that's what they kind of have right now in their life. And so when that goes away, you kind of see like, hey, like there's a consequence for how we, you know, are treating each other and stuff like that. But we do try to limit it during the week. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, we've tried a variety of things. We had, you know, what, 30 minutes a day after school. Well, that didn't work because, you know, our kids would, you know, we homeschool, and so our kids would rush through their schoolwork, get done so that they could play their time. And so we found that to be an issue. So we have this year eliminated technology during the week. And so they don't play video games until after Friday when school's done. They get an hour. And then on Saturday, they get 2 hours. And the reason we do that is because our kids know, right, that there's a real strong temptation for them to get sucked in and play it. If we let them, they would play it nonstop. They wouldn't even blink their eyes. Like that's how consumed they can become by it. And so we're trying to create healthy boundaries so that they can remember when they are on their own. Okay, mom and dad did this for a reason because, oh man, I was supposed to do that paper and I didn't and whatever it is. Just trying to let them see if you can set it up to not be so consuming. But here's the thing too, like even in that, you got to be careful, right? Because my temptation is like you said, Tommy, I want to get rid of it all. Let's just be done. I don't care. Turn it all off. But that's not teaching them how to manage their time and to put those things aside and have a place for it, balance those things out. Because, you know, my oldest will be in college next year. Mm-hmm. And so what's he going to do when he's by himself?
Yeah.
I want him to be ready. I want to equip him.
Right.
And so, you know, we had both of our boys at one point in time playing video games during school hours on their computer when they were supposed to be doing work, and they would tell us they're doing Spanish. You know, I was like, how much Spanish homework do you got? It was like 5 o'clock.
And, you aren't even fluent.
You after can't even those say many hola. Hours. Yeah. You speak Spanish like
Hablo.
Tommy.
Hablo.
And so, anyway, come to find out, they had been lying to us. And so we had to confront them on that, deal with that. And that, like Mason, same thing. I mean, just very upset. Mm-hmm. They were caught. They knew they had done wrong. Do whatever. I see what it is now. And it takes some of that for them to see that what mom and dad's been talking about is for real. I am addicted to this. And so now we're in this state of trying to help them manage their time. Hey, listen, even if you have time, you don't have to play it. Like, you know, just because you get this amount of time today doesn't mean that you have to take it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things I wanted to do today that I didn't get to do because I have responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Right. And so trying to teach them to see that and make good choices of like, hey, I've got a big test tomorrow. I probably should go to bed early tonight. You know, those kinds of things. So it gets real tricky and all of that. And so, you know, those are the things that we've done with our kids, just trying to manage that. Our kids can't get a cell phone until they're 15, which everybody's situation is different. Mm. Our kids are homeschooled. And I understand if your kid's in school, like, then I would want my child to have one just in case of an emergency to get in touch with me. Mm-hmm. I get all of that. But, you know, even the ones that do have cell phones, they don't have any social media, you know, because anyway, we just feel very strong.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where you guys are in a different, have done it a lot different than we have. And there's, you know, looking back, I would have changed some things that we've done. But I'm also thankful to, I mean, I'm thankful it could have been worse. I mean,
sure.
But there was an article that came that was written about my son. And he is really involved in the local FFA. He's an officer, and he has been for
those listening that maybe aren't from the South.
Yeah.
What is FFA?
Future Farmers of America.
Boom.
And it's an agricultural program. It really teaches leadership skills. So it's not just about farming and that. It's so much, there's so many different avenues. And it's really helped Mason. He's not afraid to speak in public. He, you know, has a confidence about him in classrooms and in other settings. But anyway, the article came out, was just written about him and some of the accomplishments that he's had in FFA and then outside of FFA and the work that he's doing in agriculture. And yeah. So he's been working on and off for his uncle is a farmer, mm-hmm. and does aerial crop spraying.
And so in his recognition,
yeah.
of getting this honor and being in this article, you thought he was going to say, me and my dad.
No, I knew. No,
if it wasn't for my dad.
No, and I didn't grow up in agriculture.
Right. I can't think of anybody more opposite than
I remember this garden my dad put in the backyard and it bloomed. And
no, and that's, I mean, no, it's not. But, you know, it was funny in the article, he says he got his inspiration and got a real interest in it in playing a video game, and he would play a farming simulator.
Right.
And he did. I mean, he did. And so seeing him play that game, you know, the content wasn't something I was worried about. It didn't have a content to it that other video games have, sure. that we would have not let him play. But it really sparked his interest in that at a younger age. And it was more virtual type. They could build their own farm and, you know, do all this. And so, I thought it was funny, though. I was like, wow, people read it. I'm like, man, Mason got his passion from video games. I said, what a different era we're in now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, you know, hear me right. We're not always doing it right. And there are things, you know, just like anything else. You go in with a plan, and then you see good, and then you see where there's improvements that can be made, and so you adjust the plan, right? Like, we're not saying that any one of us has done it right or we're nailing it. And,
absolutely.
But, like, you know, to the phone thing or social media, you know, Grayson, you know, he's, you know, in school and, you know, doing sports, and so it's like, man, like, we've had to, like, adjust how we're picking up for after practice and all this stuff, and and so we were always like, man, he's not getting the phone until whenever, and he's still not. But what we did do is we, you know, had an old phone, and we we kind of just put like a monthly thing on there, you know, for the season, the sports season. And that way you can just, you know, text us like, hey, like practice ends today. And so that's just been helpful. But also like, I'm going to give him a little kudos. Cause, you know, to your point, Jeff, if it's not the school week, you know, we've also seen where like, he hasn't tried to take it when he's going to a friend's house, mm-hmm. or if going to church, he's not taking it to church. And sometimes like I was thinking about it, and my wife and I were chatting about it. It's like, man, like, especially at his age, you know, kids don't always have to have it with them. You know, I get the school thing, sure. and that's where it's like, man, and I just, and we never once were like, hey, you're not doing this. We never even mm-hmm. brought it up in our minds to go, hey, it's only for this, never outside of that. Like, we never had that conversation, but you know, we just noticed like, man, he doesn't bring it to other places. Yeah. And then we've also seen where like, you know, someone's, you know, in our family is, you know, text them like, hey, you know, about a game mm-hmm. or something that for sports. And like, he doesn't even reply back, you know, but so just like, man, how do we do things in moderation? Right. And so if I'm saying anything, he's taught us that just because he has it doesn't mean he's going to go off the rails with it. Yeah. Like it's in moderation. He knows what it's used for. And I'm like, man, like that's a learning for us too. Well, we don't have to have it all the time.
Well, that's what I talked to my kids about. I was like, listen, I said, I don't have Facebook on my phone for a reason. I realize, to your point, Justin, I'm going on here to look for this, and 35 minutes, an hour later, I forgot what I was looking for.
And bought three things on Marketplace.
And I sent stupid videos to 10 different people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I
bought send stuff five or six to my wife every day.
Right. So funny. So like, anyway, doing all of that, man, it's such time waste. It's such a distraction. And so I told my kids, I was like, listen, I get the video game thing. I'm not a video gamer because I come in that era where they weren't addicting.
And they weren't on the line.
And they weren't on the line. And the controllers were simple. Right. But I am of the age now where they've created a dependence for me mm-hmm. on social media and those types of things. And so I know that I can't have it on my phone mm-hmm. because I know me mm-hmm. and you're like me. So I'm telling you, mm-hmm. don't do this. Don't set yourself up to fail. Set up these boundaries and all those things. And I've gone around the horn in my own head of like, well, I should be able to have this on my phone and not let it control me. Well, it does. And so I can't have it on my phone, you know? So, you know, we play these games in our heads of, you know, whether it's pride or whatever, but anyway, just trying to eliminate those things, eliminate distractions. And we've got to set the tone for our kids. You know, my mom will talk about kids all day on technology. She's on her iPad more than anybody, times a thousand, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's really funny because you don't see yourself. And, you know, when I was talking to my kids about video games, you know, one of my sons was like, yeah, but you watch football all the time. I was like, okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about that. Number one, I'm not sacrificing responsibilities or time with my family. It's when a game's available. I watch it. It's for a season. You know, anyway. But at the same time, I had to hear my son's heart. What he saw in his dad was his dad watching football. And if that looks to him the same way that video games looks to me for him, then I need to get rid of it, right? Like eliminate that in such a way that he sees that it doesn't have control. And so anyway, I'm trying to take those things and that going back to that movie, those are things that were very convicting to me. And it was just like, man, if we didn't have any of this stuff in here, then none of us would have this issue. Let's just get rid of all of it. Right. But
anyway. I think if your kids are old enough too, and Justin, as your kids get older, you'll be able to have more straight up conversations with them about some of the dangers too, of the things that are out there online. And we've had to have those conversations. You know, my daughter is about to be 14. And so it's different with her than my 17-year-old son. Like she has different boundaries too. I mean, it has to depend on where they are. And I've had to sit her down. We've talked about that there are people out there who will say that they're somebody that they're not. And they are people with bad intentions. And, you know, so we limit what she has access to help protect her. But it doesn't eliminate that. You know, they can always find ways around things.
Well, here's the thing, too. I'll just be transparent. Like, praise the Lord, my kids have not found pornography online, at least that I know of. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be naive and all this, but I've talked to them about it at length. We talk about it all the time. Have you seen anything, looked at anything? But we have Covenant Eyes on their phone, right? And so this is just a program that takes random shots and flags anything that they shouldn't be looking at, blocks sights, all that kind of stuff. And they said, thank you for putting that on our phone. It protects us. But at the same time, you know, going back to abuse of this and what it does, like one of my sons at school, they go once a week to a co-op thing. We got a call from his teacher and we had no idea, right? And he's at school. We don't know what's happening. She's like, hey, listen, he comes in, drops his backpack off, and he goes to the bathroom every day and is gone for 40 minutes. The class is an hour long, you know? And so every time, every Thursday when he would go, this is how long it would happen. And so we called him out on that. Well, he's going to the bathroom playing video games on his phone. And we're like, okay, here we go again, right? So that's one thing that we had to look at. Another thing is not even necessarily that it's pornography, but it's just these, there's these weird things out there, like animals and humans mixed together. And it kind of has like human-like shapes. And so it's just done in such a way. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of random things out there. Justin's making a face. I didn't know it existed. I don't even know what they're called right now. But
I
some
still
kind
don't
of,
even know what you're talking about.
Some kind of morphing of, anyway.
So like a human body and animal head?
Mm. Or like animal fur on a human body. Mm. And so you can see the outline of the body. Anyway, it's just those types of things that like was causing one of my sons to stumble a little bit. Like, hey, this is, and I'm finding myself wanting, what else is on here? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so those things aren't classified as pornography, but the, man, that's but how the enemy
it
works,
a door.
Right? It opens a door for those things. And so anyway, he approached me about it and was broken about it. And so we were able to set things up and, you know, whatever. But there are, listen, we're getting ready next year. I already got it scheduled, but we're going to have a cyber technology training for our parents because there are back doors around Covenant Eyes, around apps that you have set up, blocks. There are apps to negate all of those things. You can go in through your video games. You can go in through Google Maps. You can access pornography. Yeah. There's just crazy stuff out there. So we've got to be, we can't be naive and just hope for the best. I mean, I would say a lot of my generation, our parents kind of buried their head in the sand and hoped for the best. You know, a lot of it was, internet was new and
it
all
was
that,
harder to access too.
It was harder to access. We didn't know a lot of
you
things.
Had the magazines
but
between
I think
the mattress.
Too, I get all that. Like I'm not saying there's not weird stuff, you know, on the line. But what I'm saying too is I think if you bring it back to the household level, like, you know, it's going to be easy for any parent to justify why our kids need this or the games or the phones and all the things. But like, if you just bring it back to center and go, okay, like what, how are we instructing them? What do we see? How are we guiding? How are we coaching? Like all of those things. Like, I think we can move ourselves further away from, you know, just giving into the justification of things. And, you know, like a middle schooler probably doesn't need to have their phone with them. You know, if I'm just thinking of like a church setting where we see right. some of the youth and stuff, like they're not going to text anybody on Sunday for for an hour and a half, right. you know, like just little things like that. It's like, hey, what are we doing to think about or you know, kind of bringing back some normalcy to these kids' lives?
We have a charging station as well at our house at night. Kids aren't having the phone in their rooms, you know, just practical things that, hey, let's just eliminate temptation.
But right? that's where I was talking about too. Like as parents, we need to also be honest about like, where do things have a hold on us? You know, because we can justify a lot of things. And
and there's nothing more defeating than hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And if our kids view it that way, even if it's not, most likely it is, but even if it's not, we need to listen to what they're saying.
Well, right? I would read on my phone and then they would see I'm on my phone. So it's like I had to go back to reading regular books.
Right.
So it's like, well,
my kids would call me out too on those things. And I'm actually looking up something for this thing. I'm on Amazon for something for an event at church or whatever it is, you know. And so,
but also, you said like listen to their heart. Yeah. Yes. But I think also the caution in that too is not just because a 16-year-old is or 17 or whatever their age is sharing their heart. Do you go, oh, well, we got to throw it all into the box? You know what I mean? Because it's like, hey, that's also an opportunity to go, hey, like, you see it this way, and I totally hear you, and I get it.
Right.
But also, like, the thing that you're not noticing is insert information.
Right.
Because that's also what our kids want is, like, they're not just coming to us to, you know, call us out on something, and we go, oh, yep, you're right, you're 17, you're so smart, you know, or you're 10. And it's like, hey, like, here's the little bit of stuff that maybe you don't see and some information. And So just having those conversations to be able to inform them with stuff that kind of,
right,
you know, gives them some context. So their limited mind and world just don't go, ha, you know,
dad's always on his phone.
Yeah. I knew he was watching football all the time, and that's the same thing as games. And now he's giving it up. And,
right,
you know, so just, I mean, you can really go to any extreme of this, and that's where it comes back to like, hey, what are we doing as individuals? What are we doing as a family? What are we doing with our kids to instruct, coach, guide? So that way our kids also know in all this that it's a safe place for them to ask questions or to have conversations with mom and dad,
right,
to navigate this stuff. And I think, I can't remember where I heard this quote, but I heard it once and it stuck, and wish I can give the person credit that I heard it from, but it was not my original words. It's like, hey, by the time we get tired of saying it, that's when our kids are just starting to catch on. Yeah. So unfortunately, whether you like what I'm about to say or not, like, we're going to spend a long time saying a lot of things and repeating ourselves for it to feel like they're never catching on. But by the time we're getting tired of it, like, it's hopefully going to start sinking in. So trust where we're kind of pointing them to, which is hopefully the Lord and his instruction and that reasoning and logic. So
as we wrap up this session, I just want to encourage you guys, you know, where you're at with your kids, set the tone, lead by example, and man, don't give up. Just keep working hard at this. I know it's a challenge, but stay the course. Thanks for listening, guys.